So guys, if you could come and join us again, please. We've got two other speakers who really have some wonderful things to tell you. All right, just to conclude, I want to say I really hope that just seeing the sort of thing we do can show you, A, how easy it can be, B, that it can be a bit of fun, actually. I love a bit of fun, and usually I make a few jokes in there as well at the classes, and kids love it, and so I have a bit of fun as well. But the most important thing is when you see some of the results, when you get kids writing down some of the questions and some of the stuff that they wrote on those mailbox last term, and you think, yes, we are getting through. So if you've got any more questions for me about CIS, because I'd love to see some more volunteers, if we keep increasing the number of schools, then there's more volunteers. And we even have full-time public servants who take off a morning intern to come and do a school. So thank you very much for your time. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be in the foyer at my CIS stand after this session if you want to talk some more. Thank you.
I'm now going to invite Matt to come up and talk about his involvement in Super Club.
Okay, firstly, before today, how many people had actually heard of Super Clubs? Okay, yeah, probably more than I thought. Just give a where we're going in the presentation. What is Super Club? Why is it important? Does it make a difference? What can you do? So firstly, Super Clubs. Super Club stands for Scripture Union, Primary Age. They're Christian clubs that are open to everyone, so it's similar to maybe CEIS, for kids operating in primary schools throughout Australia. They're part of a work of a worldwide interdenominational movement called Scripture Union. Again, how many people have heard of Scripture Union before? Okay, more? Good? Yep. Some of you guys might already know, started in 1867, works in more than 130 countries. SU has been working in ACT for more than 40 years, and New South Wales is probably a lot longer. SU works in partnership with churches to make God's great news about Jesus known to children, young people and families. Super clubs can be before school, they can be a lunch program, they can be after school. They operate in schools with permission of the principal and they're staffed by volunteers from the local community and churches. So what is the purpose? For kids to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus and the Christian message and to investigate life's questions. What happens? It can be a range of things. Hopefully, it's fun games, interesting craft. It can be singing, drama, stimulating stories from the Bible, the occasional treat. We can sometimes have Christmas parties, things like that. For the super club that I'm involved in at Torrens Primary, we normally do like a 10-minute craft, 10-minute game, 10-minute lesson. The lesson could be a story, a DVD, a skit with the kids. But it's pretty compact. We don't have too much time in what's become a shortened lunchtime. And as I've just been informed for New South Wales, ACT is the same. It's an opt-in model. For children to attend, parents or guardians must give their written permission. So who are the leaders? The leaders are members of local churches who believe that everyone should have the opportunity to investigate Christianity for themselves. SU ACT oversees the running of the clubs in ACT. All volunteers are required to complete the screening process, which includes in the ACT. I'm not sure what the New South Wales requirements are, but ACT working with vulnerable people check and child safe training. For our super club, we have leaders from two churches, and at a personal note, I find it really encouraging when just different churches work together. Okay. Okay, just to give you, rather than just listen to me rattle on with no pictures, this is an example of one of the games that we did. I think it was building a house, like the foolish builder on the sand. And so that's just an example of some of the games we might be involved in. An example of maybe one of the lessons. I think this was Christmas lesson. We just had a short talk and a DVD. We usually get a bigger turnout if you tell the kids there's going to be a party, there's going to be free junk food, but we do try to keep it not over the top to have a good relationship with the schools. You don't want to pump them full of sugar and then send them back to the teachers. example of the craft, I think this was the Christmas craft. And just in my own investigation, I found that the craft, at least for what we do, has had to be quite specific. It's got to meet a fair few different criteria, I think, to hit the mark. We found that, one, it can't be too expensive because we might have to do craft for, say, 30-plus kids. It's got to be pretty quick. You can get it finished in 10 minutes. It needs to be of reasonable quality, so they actually don't just go, oh, okay, this is, I'm just chuck it in the bin. They want to take it home. They want to take it, their school friends can see it. We try to put a Bible verse on it as well. So if it's taken home, it's put on the fridge, it's put on wherever, their family, parents, siblings and stuff can see it as well. The teachers, you know, often will see the craft. Why is it important? And do men make a difference? Firstly, why is it important? Firstly, the school years, as many of you know, they're vital for kids making decisions about following Jesus. From some of the stats I've read, sounds like the majority of people who have still followed Jesus made the decision before they're 18. I think for the survey that some of you guys filled out, it came up as around about 60% of you guys made the decision to follow Jesus before 18. It's important because all kids need to know about the God that loves them, the God that sent Jesus to die for them, save them, forgive them and offer them eternal life. It's important because super clubs can build ongoing and regular relationships with kids as we meet most weeks of the school year. For some kids, it might be the only access they have to find out about Jesus. The majority of the kids who come along to Torrens Super Club don't have any regular contact with churches. But do men actually make a difference? Is it okay if the women just do it themselves? As I said before, let me be clear, men should be telling school kids about Jesus. Women should be telling school kids about Jesus, but it should not be left just to women. But does it actually make a difference? Well, with the three ladies who helped out with Torrens before I got on board, it was just the three, those lovely ladies gave me some feedback. I didn't ask for it, but there was positive feedback. It was positive feedback. But the difference it made having a guy on the team, they noticed that more boys came along, both younger and older, and the retention rate of the boys was better. Sometimes the kids would come along, oh, there's only one other boy. Okay, well, I won't come next week. You might get a different boy the next week, but he doesn't come back. Other reasons why men make a difference, as Phil said, some of the kids, both boys and girls, don't have regular contact with their father for a variety of reasons. Or if they do, it mightn't be a great role model. We've had a few boys where their father has died as well. So it is important and guys make a difference. But does super actually make a difference at all as well? Firstly, we pray and hope and strive that super clubs make an eternal difference, that more kids will be saved, bring glory to God both in this life and the next. And we're to take comfort, I think, from God himself assures us in his word, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And I don't know about you, but I think so much as a guy and girls, the things we put our effort into, the labour that we have, ultimately, you know, it's in vain, but this isn't. Some other examples that I've been witness to about the difference super clubs makes, and this is only talking about sort of the one that I've been involved in, not maybe all the other super clubs around the place. I know a mum, I was just emailing her a few days ago, where Super Club was the deciding factor on whether they sent their kids to Torrens Primary or another school. I had a mother who originally was very hesitant, quite sort of anti, her and her husband, to send her son along. He kept on coming along week after week after week. Can I come along? I said, we haven't got a note from you. Can I just stand out the front and watch what you do? I said, sorry, mate, look, you know, we need permission. Eventually, you know, she got sick of her son sort of asking so many times. She came up to me one morning and said she thanked me for the effect that Superclub had on her son and the behavioural issues with him. Through our Superclub, we've been able to give away really good quality kids' Bibles and being told about, of course, it's nice, exciting, it's clean, it's new. They take it home. What do they want? They want their parents to read it. And so you've had parents who aren't Christian reading the Bible, you know, to their kids. Some of them, I know, have been, you know, cursing when they're reading this Bible, but they're reading the Bible to these kids. We have a huge range of kids who come along, most of whom, as I said, don't go to any church regularly. The opportunity is amazing. We had some Muslim girls. Their parents were happy to send both these sisters along. A mum that I've been speaking to, she attends a Mormon church, and she was happy to send her kid along to Super Club. So the opportunities are amazing. It's not just the kids, I think, who benefit from Super. You see a couple of the girls here, but the boy down here, he's got cerebral palsy. His teacher, the teacher's aide who comes along and helps him out, she's heard the gospel message week after week after week, because she comes along and she helps out one of the boys. So, what can you do? Pray. Pray, because we need God's help. I can sometimes, I don't know whether it's being a guy or task orientated or need to get stuck in or something, I can sometimes forget this and think it's all about having the best leaders, the most exciting games, the most engaging lessons, but it is only God who will soften kids' hearts to respond to the gospel. Pray that Jesus would have mercy on these kids, and pray that we'd have more super clubs. At the moment, there's 64 public schools, public primary schools in the ACT, and only 11 have a super club, so that's about 17% or so. Pray, because this is a spiritual battle. There are groups, there are individuals out there who would like to see super clubs, and I think CEIS and chaplains shut down. Give. Contact SUACT or SU New South Wales. There should have been some flyers on your seats. You can speak to some of the guys on the Scripture Union stall, how you might be able to financially support SU. Step up. Some of the ways you can step up. If you have kids at primary school and there's already a super club, encourage them to go along. Further that, encourage them to invite their friends. Talk to other parents about it. I know my connections with some of the families at school, but I don't have connections with everyone. I know other mums where they've asked them, what's this super club about? Is that okay? I don't know about sending my kid along to it. And they've been able to go, oh, look, my daughter goes along. This is what they do. Yeah, there's no problem. Oh, cool. They've got reassurance, not from me, but from another mother, because we don't have that connection. Or talk to SU about starting up a super club or join an existing one. How could you be involved? Well, you could be the team leader. You could be a helper and run with one of the activities. You'd be on most weeks and you're going, right, I'm doing games. Next week I'm on the craft. Next week I'm doing, you know, short lesson. Or dip your toe in, going, I just want to come along. I want to help, but I just want to not be on any activity, but I just want to come along. And we need, when we've got 15, 20, 30 kids, if you've just got people who are just running an activity, you've got no time really for relationships, for welcoming the kids when they come in and they might have lunch down on the mat, to talk to them. How are they going? What's going on? Some of you who might be working full time are thinking, well, this is good, but really rules me out. I can't, I work full time. It doesn't have to. It might be possible that you do work part time so that you can commit to this ministry, and that's what I do. It's only an hour and a half a week. I know people with Super Club and Scripture in ACT in New South Wales, they take their lunch break. They take an extended lunch break. They make sure they do the extra work before or after another day, but they take that lunch break and they are committed to it. To give the guys running the SU stall, SUACT and SU New South Wales offer a range of other things you could be involved in. Thinking maybe camps. You know, camps, I really enjoyed camps when I was a kid and I want to help others. There's some camps coming up, Zone 40, Super Sports. If the brochures aren't there, they're up on the SU store. You might want to help out with one of those. I know SU has family missions in New South Wales. Speak to the guys to get some more info. In closing, speak to me after if you want to. I think we're going to have some time for questions, or I'll probably be around here if you want to ask me during morning tea. But as a closing remark, I just want you to think about one thing. Make no mistake, this is spiritual warfare. Satan does not want these kids to know about Jesus. Satan does not want you to help. So take action, don't put it off, make a commitment to help, and follow it through. Thanks.
So we've heard from Christian Education Schools looking at K-6, we looked at Super Club, and now Steve's going to talk to us about high school.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I can do it.
Okay.
Yep.
Hi,
you guys.
just a quick question. I've got some stuff just to talk about, but how long have we got? Yeah. Just so I know. Ten? Okay. Yeah, all right. Firstly, just quickly about me. So just a quick pick, that's my family. I'm an ordained minister. We've been in the ministry since 1996. So I've been around church for a fair while. I've got a lovely family. I've got, I thought I had twins, and then Matt trumped me when he said he's got two sets of twins. So, my girls are 21. They're the older two, Caitlin and Bethany, and then Erin is my youngest. She's 17 and she's at Gungahlin College at the moment. And my lovely wife, Christine. So we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary at the end of this year. But what would you like to know in the time that I've got? I've got some stories. I've got a few things just to show you about why chaplaincy is such a critical part of our schools at the moment and why that's important. But I don't want to, if there's other questions that you've got, we can answer them at the end, but what would you like to know about chaplaincy?
If the sense we don't know
about it, how can we talk to you? Okay.
How can we assist chaplaincy in our local?
Yep.
How can we support
the
prayer person
or the practice? Great. So I'll answer that one. Yep. And there's another one.
What level of engagement do you actually have across the broad school?
Yeah, great. Okay. So how can you help me and how do I help the school? Does that sound about right? Okay. So I've been chaplain at Campbell High since 2008. I started there. I was the inaugural chaplain. When I rocked up there, they had no idea what chaplaincy was. So that was both good because I had no idea what chaplaincy was. And my pastoral care coordinator, as they were called there, he was not a Christian, but God is at work in his life. And so he sort of was like my Cyrus. And so I had no idea, but he helped me and we worked together in regards to figuring out how would chaplaincy work at Campbell High School. Now, each school is a bit different. And so each school has its own flavour. The principal and the staff in the school will have a bit of an idea of what they want or what they don't want. But at my school, I praise God that I've had a really great run. I've built quite a... being in the school, these guys, what they do in primary school is awesome, and I would really strongly encourage you to get involved. You know, what they can do in an hour is just amazing. Where a chaplain differs is that I'm actually in the school at least 2 days a week. I'm now in a situation where the school employs me 5 days because they wanted to keep me there and find me another 3 days worth of work. So it's not chaplaincy those days, but what I do is all to do with chaplaincy. So I'm present in the school 5 days a week, and so my opportunity for leverage and connection with kids grows exponentially because I'm there. And so I praise God for that. Most chaplains here in the ACT work at their schools about 2 days a week, which is pretty standard. I was just going to say a little bit, I shared about this in the session, that really we've been given a mandate. This is not optional. You know, we've got to be thinking, you know, what am I doing here in a local mission? These guys make it so easy to get involved. I was sitting there and God stirring my heart about thinking about, well, how can I get involved? I'd love to give an hour. That's not too much to ask. And it's incredibly powerful in our schools. But we've got to be thinking about what am I doing here in school ministry in the ACT. We have opportunity at the moment. We don't have a closed door. We have a door that we have to push, but it's not a closed door, and we've got to maximise the opportunities that we have right now, because we don't know how long that door will be open for. And if we are complacent, then we're going to miss what is a critical time that we have at the moment for us to be able to be a huge influence in our schools, both primary school, high school and colleges. This scripture in Proverbs 13 talks about hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. I was just kind of weighing up about, I've got, you know, sort of two stories that I just wanted to share with you in particular about two students. If, depending on how much time we have at the end, I just want to talk about one student. I'm going to call him Ben. And I met Ben in the first year that I was there at Campbell. The pastoral care coordinator brought Ben to me and said, Ben's just come to our school and I think it would be great for you to, you know, if he could meet you and see if you might be able to connect with him in some way. In schools across Canberra, they are a lot of the support staff and things like that are women. And so as men, we have this incredible opportunity to have influence without even really trying, because a lot of students get referred to me because I'm a guy, not just because I'm a chaplain, but because I'm a male and I'm someone that may be willing to give them some time that they don't have to earn, that they can just come. And so Ben was introduced to me. I got to know Ben a little bit, and his story was that he got kicked out of home. He was living in Queensland with his mum. He was 15 and basically was just unmanageable. And he became violent and aggressive towards her. And so she said, that's it, I can't deal with this anymore. He was disengaged from school. And so she said, right, you're going to go and live with your sister who was in the Navy and posted here to Canberra. And so I got to meet Ben, and in my process of getting to sort of know him, I asked a little bit about, you know, family and mum's, you know, what's she like, how's the relationship? He said, not great. And I said, so, you know, how's your relationship with your dad? And he said, I don't have a dad. I went, oh, okay, so what does that mean? You know, is your dad not on the scene? Or he said, no, I don't have a dad. I went, that's not possible, but anyway. I said, do you mean like you don't know him or he's dying? He said, no, my birth certificate, I have no father on my birth certificate. And it was such a shock to me. And it was like, I can't even imagine what that would be like. You know, God bless me, I'm a great dad, but not everybody does. And so in that moment, I knew that God challenged me to be somebody that was going to be present in Ben's life, that would invest some time and value into him, that he knew that he was important, that there were some guys in his world that he might be able to trust and rely on. The story was, Ben was in year 10, he was about to finish high school, and he found out that his sister was going to be posted and posted to sea. And so that meant that he had nowhere to go. He was 15 years of age and basically was going to have to go back to Queensland. I said, God, you know, what do we do here? So I emailed out a whole lot of, as many of my Christian networks as I could possibly tap into, and a lady contacted me 2 weeks before the end of school and said, look, I don't often do this and I've got a young family, but I saw the notice in the news, in our church newsletter, and I just wanted to let you know if he's got nowhere to go that Ben could come and live with us. And so at the end of school, he did that. I went to Stanlick with him and got payments organised and all of that. And so he finished school and we said goodbye. 3 years later, I was on a school excursion to ADFA. And who was in front of me as he turned around to see what this ruckus was behind him with these noisy school kids? And it was Ben. And I went, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm doing ADFA. And I said, wow, that's amazing. What's been going on? He said, thank you so much for helping me at that time in my life. He said, it's made the world of difference to me, and now I'm going to add for and all of this. I said, that's awesome, buddy. Well done. Keep going. In my role as chaplain, I do lots of things, but one of the hard things that I do is I'm always called on to support families in grief and loss. And at the end of last year, in the first week of December, I had a police officer turn up to the school, and I help look after and support international students. And I normally get around to their contact group. And in the morning, I didn't actually make it to this contact group, and the police arrived at the school, and our principal was away, and the acting deputy principal ran up and said, oh, can you come help me? The police are here and inquiring about this student. They said, is he here at school today? And I said, look, I don't know. So I went and checked, and he wasn't. And so as the story unfolded, sadly, student who'd been at school for 7 weeks, came from China to study, had tragically taken his own life. And it was just awful. And in that time, you know, I don't know about you, but being a chaplain in a school, I feel like I've got 720 kids, and they're all mine and they're all important to me. And so that was a horrible loss and a terrible thing to deal with, and I had to deal with parents and stuff like that. That happened on the Monday. On the Tuesday, I found out that a close friend of ours had passed away. She was only 43. And so we had all this grief and what's going on. And sometimes as chaplain, you wonder, are you really making a difference? You see, because it's a long-term mission. Sometimes we just don't, it's not about just putting the gospel on the kids. Sometimes it's about being involved in their world so that they'll start to listen to you. So at this funeral that I attended for this friend of ours, her daughter got up and spoke, and that was really hard. And at the short refreshments afterwards, I was talking to my friend's mother, and this young guy came and said, I've got to take you to the private burial. You know who that young guy was? It was Ben. And we looked at each other and I said, oh my God, what are you doing here? And he said, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm going out with her daughter. And I went, that's amazing. He said, I can't stay and talk now, but can I catch up with you for coffee tomorrow? So we organised a time and came and had coffee on a Saturday morning. On a Saturday morning, he said to me, you won't realise this, but he said, the family that you organised for me to stay with, he said, I fought, first of all, he said, I went to church with them, I gave my life to Christ, I became a youth leader in the church, and he said, I just can't thank you enough that what you did has just changed my life. And so in chaplaincy, you get to do some amazing things, and you have some amazing stories. Sometimes we don't have amazing stories, but we love kids. All of these kids that you can see on the screen here, they all have a story, and some of them have terrific things, and some of them have some horrific things that they're dealing with. So in my school, I get called on a lot. I get a lot of kids sent to me because staff trust me. The principal trusts me. The principal knows that I'm not there just for my agenda. So the question about, you know, how much contact do I have in the school? After 9 years, I've got a lot of credit, And so God has given me opportunities, and I have regular opportunities to ask kids about, you know, what are their support networks? Is faith a part of that? What does faith mean to them? I'm amazed at how conversations open up. How you guys can support is we do need prayer, but we need support as well. These are some statistics. 18,535 formal conversations. Formal conversations mean that there is an appointment that's made and a student will come and see a chaplain in a school. 18,000 conversations happen across Australia that we know of, that's recorded. Now I just say, you know, what would happen if we didn't have chaplains in schools, in high schools, in primary schools? There would be this massive hole that's there. So we do need prayer, we need support, we need people that are, and guys like yourselves that say, you know what, I can't do all of that, but maybe there's some things that I can do. We have 45 schools in the ACT that have chaplains involved in them. And you can be involved by helping, getting in touch with that chaplain, saying, how can I help you? What can I do to support what you do? Because, to be honest, we don't get a lot of support from local churches. Seems crazy. But the reality is, since the inception of the funding, a lot of churches think, well, you know, they're doing those and they don't get involved. And we have to go and canvass churches. Are you interested in being involved in chaplaincy? You know, what we're doing in the school. Now, hopefully, we can turn that around to get back to the organic model, which was churches got together and said, we need to put a chaplain in the school so that we've got someone there a couple of days a week, not just an hour here or there. That's important. We need that. But we also need chaplains in schools that are going to be there when a kid's going through a difficult time. They want to know, who can I go and talk to? They call me Chapo. And you know, there's something that comes along with that, because I know I've got to be authentic. If I'm not living out my faith, I'm not authentic, they will know and they won't come. They won't bother. But I get a lot of kids that come to my door that are not Christians. In fact, I'll finish on this. I got called to a board meeting just to give a report to our school board, and it turned out it was actually slightly an interrogation by the school board chair. And the school board chairman at the time said to me, he said, I don't agree with chaplains in schools. Ideologically, I disagree with that. He said, but I can't argue against the effectiveness of what you're having in the school. What you're doing in the school is having an effect. And so he abstained from voting whether or not chaplaincy should happen. 2 years, turn the clock forward, last year he rang me and said, my daughter's going through a difficult time. Any chance that you could catch up with her? Who does that if it's not God? So I could share more stories and things like that, but I know you've been very generous in listening. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking interest in what these guys do. You know, get involved with them. See what your local church is doing. Find out about what chaplains are in schools near you. Support them. We need funding. I hate talking about that, but I've come to a point where if we don't get funding, that's the greatest risk to chaplaincy in Australia. It's not the government. It's actually not being able to keep chaplains in schools, because chaplains have to pay bills. And so get involved, see what you can do. And if God motivates you, encourages you to contribute to the chaplain in your area, can I encourage you to do that? whether it's $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever. But thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And
is it right that you guys
are
still getting
funds? Yeah, we've not had a pay rise since 2007. So effectively what that's meant is we didn't fundraise previously. And so there's a lot of chaplains struggle with that. It's, how do you fundraise for your own job? But I've got to get over that, because if I don't fundraise, then I can't be a chaplain in the school, and I can't be there because bills don't get paid. So it is. And I'm not crying poor. That's just the reality. But I love my job, and God helps. God stirs heart, and by His grace, I want to be there next year, and the year after, and the year after that, for as long as I can. So anyway, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
I think you can see that all these three blokes are very passionate about their involvement with children and teenagers, young adults. They're free at afternoon tea to have a chat with and ask questions, but does anyone want to ask a question now of any one of these gentlemen? Tim?
This might be an odd question. Do you have an opinion on Christian schools? Well... Christian schools, as in, you know, there's a lot of people that go to Christian schools that aren't Christian.
Yes, well, I teach in a Christian school, okay. So I'm well interested in this topic.
Sure.
But for me, it almost be the other. I feel like the other extreme, where the school is so saturated with Christian stuff that the student glazes over, and it just becomes a part of the fabric, and they don't notice it anymore.
Well, I would answer probably that to say, in my role as a chaplain, you'll see down the bottom green section that a lot of my conversations have to do with relationships, grief and loss, family breakdown, bullying, harassment, and that happens in public and Christian schools. So my role, as I do as a chaplain, is to be someone that they can come and talk to about what's going on in their world. And quite often, you know, I'll talk to them about, well, how does God intersect with your world? Does He intersect with your world? And so, kids are kids. And yeah, it's true that in Christian school there's a lot of Christian stuff, but it doesn't mean that they get the one-on-one conversations and talk about how they deal with anxiety, stress, depression, all of that kind of stuff. And that's where I really enjoy being engaged at that level. Does that answer?
Yeah, it's just stuff I wonder about, and about, you know, if we have, you know, 80 Christian teachers, should we put them all in the one school to teach the kids and Christian parents?
Maybe that's a conversation you can have over a cuppa, which would be good. Any other specific questions? Can I throw one in? It may actually be to you for high school, only because people may not be involved primary school chaplaincy. But with issues of homosexuality, safe school, gender, just recently one of the chaplains I know had to, and did it quite well, supported the LTGB community within the school from doing bullying. Are there times where, issues come up that may be difficult, challenging, maybe hard to deal with? I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've been in a situation where I've had to, you know, support students. Students have come to me because of that reason. Or they present us and go, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about something else. So when I'm in that place, I just find out why are they why they're there, what is it that they want to talk about. And so when it unfolds, what they want to talk about, then I'm just praying at the time, saying, Holy Spirit, just give me wisdom about how to share the love of Christ with them, how to give hope, because a lot of students are suffering with hope, loss of hope. And so when I'm there, I'm praying, God, like the sort of the tagline of School Chaplain CACT is, you know, bringing hope to the young generation. And yes, I was just going to say, students that sit in my room will talk about all kinds of things, and I'm just trying to say, God, give me wisdom about how to support them in whatever they're doing.
I was just
going to say, but we get some tough questions in primary schools too, and probably with CIS we don't structure the lesson so we keep them on the straight and narrow, because they've got some questions to ask, or we'll do our best to answer them, and I have to do. I had a new 5 boy who I mean last year asking, why does God hate homosexuals?
Okay.
I had a girl come to me and say, my dad didn't even have to go. So these are tough questions to answer. And we really
want to be praying
about that.
So
there are a lot of tough questions
for us. Well, look, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I'm going to close in prayer and then afternoon tea is on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for raising up men and women for work with children and teenagers and young adults. We thank you for the passion that's been displayed here, the commitment, the love. And we pray, Lord, that as men that we may, Lord, step up to the plate. If we can be involved in children's ministry or supporting chaplaincy, we pray, Lord, that you will lead us, open doors, help us to take hold of them so that the gospel can continually be presented, promoted and proclaimed to young hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here, gentlemen.